The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Evangelism. That's really the thread that holds these three readings together. Even though we might want to make it eagles, it really is evangelism. Isaiah, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? See, that God is not only great and mighty, but also merciful and tender. And then Paul. For an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. See, all Christians share the gospel. And Paul's words have been used by Christians for centuries to be the job description for pastors, too. Jesus in Mark. Let us go on to neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. See, the one who is the good news himself wants to get the message out to as many people as possible. Proclaim the gospel, share the good news. Evangelism, euangelion in Greek, eu, like eulogy, meaning good, eu, and angel, angel, meaning message. We also say messenger for angel. Some will say that mainstream Christian denominations have failed at evangelism, which is why we're all declining. And most parishioners realize that it's not just the pastor's job to evangelize. We do it publicly, and we're set aside to do it on a regular basis as our full-time, you know, paid job. But it's not just the pastor or the paid staff or the elected leaders of the congregation whose job it is to evangelize. Because didn't you know the whole congregation is really on the evangelism committee? I try to say this at least once or twice a year. And that committee, those people, serve the whole congregation to help make sure we're kind of doing our job, encourage us. Some of us will say, yeah, well, evangelism's not really for me. I'll come to church, I'll come to worship, I'll volunteer in some way. But I'm not going to get too religious. I'm not going to talk to strangers about whether they're saved or not. Well, and I say, good, please don't do that. Because that's not only an ineffective way of talking about God, because it sounds more like a salesmanship and kind of manipulation, but it also gets the message backward. Paul uses the word saved, but he's talking about God saving people. He is merely the messenger and plants the seed, if you read on in that reading. But don't we have good news to share? Doesn't trusting Christ make a difference in our lives, in your life? There really are many, many people who are hurting, who need God's comfort. There are so many people who haven't been told how gracious God is, how God loves humans unconditionally how God's love is greater than our sin or our doubt. How being Christian is not about trying to get into heaven, but it's about experiencing heaven somehow by faith while living on earth. And who else is going to tell them? I mean, all of us are in connection with so many people in our daily callings who might need to hear about a gracious God. I was particularly struck by this when visiting Southeast Asia last fall and began to understand Chinese Buddhism, which has a lot of expectations and demands and things to live up to, rules really. It lays a heavy burden onto people of following all of these demands and rules. And so they're supposed to do the right thing or bring shame on their family, including on dead ancestors in Chinese Buddhism, who have power to bring about bad things even from the grave. But what about our country? I mean, what religions place heavy burdens on people's spirits in religions that we know about? And not only religions, but what spiritualities? People are spiritual but not religious, they say. Or even what systems of meaning place burdens on people's hearts. I actually think one of these is this ideal that I've been hearing about for the last decade or so of balance. Balance. Having balance in life. Work-life balance. At first, it sounds really helpful. It gives a framework to understand what might be out of kilter in life. Working too much. Not giving time to the family. Not giving time to non-screen, you know, time in life or being outside. But the trouble is, how do you get there? How do you get balance? You're kind of on your own with that, with just this kind of ideal of balance. So the ideal serves to reveal a flaw without offering help or comfort. So see how it can be burdensome. There are so many people who are delighted, in my experience, to hear how gracious and loving God is, who gives us meaning in life and a sense of security and community. We're not in this alone, figuring it out by ourselves. So how are you doing at evangelism? If you're like most of us, you'll probably easily say that you fall short. And I think it's important to say that we fail at evangelism. We don't extend ourselves enough. We're too embarrassed or feel too awkward or are sometimes too pushy, perhaps, or take an approach that doesn't work with a certain person in terms of sharing the deep meaning of our faith life and what Christ means. Or we do it for self-centered reasons, you know, patting ourselves on the back, expecting brownie points from God somehow. We fail, just like the disciples in Mark's gospel failed. The one inside of us who likes to be in control needs to hear that simple truth. We fail at this. We're never going to get it right. But the gospel truth is that evangelism isn't up to us in the end. It's up to God. God is the one who makes sure it happens, even through us. Evangelism isn't about being overly religious. It's not about persuading people. It's about sharing the good news with people we think need to hear it, as simple as that, inviting them to church. That is, to the community of believers in which we gather as a community to hear that we're broken and that God forgives us and loves us over and over again. Whatever we find important in life as human beings, we naturally feel compelled to share. But it makes sense to me that it's easier to tell others about a movie that touched you or a really good restaurant you discovered than it is to share about how Christ has touched you in a deep way. But even though it's not easy, because it's deeper and more personal, even with our embarrassed and awkward words, it still comes out. For example, one parishioner who knew that a colleague needed God's comfort after being diagnosed with cancer, just invited her to church. Didn't make a big deal about it, but invited her to church. People say things like, well, you know, if I miss worship, I just somehow don't feel like my week starts right. There are so many ways that the new creation in us naturally expresses the good news, many times without our realizing it. Christ continues to heal us, just as he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, so that we can be lifted up and go about our daily work serving our neighbor. Christ comes to us here this morning, in and through the word and the meal. Christ reaches out to us through them, takes us by the hand, and lifts us up out of fear, out of sin, out of complacency, just as he raised up Simon's mother-in-law. And the new creation in us naturally is compelled to say something, share something, do something. And Christ will see to it that the message gets out to those who need to hear it, even through us. Because how else will they know? We know of a place where the hurting and the burdened can come to be raised up and strengthened and joined to a community which is based and founded in God's love. So in the words of D.T. Niles, evangelism is actually pretty simple. It's merely one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread, right? Or in the words of Mark, the evangelist, come and see. See, we simply tell them where and let Christ lift them up. Amen.